presenter presents Muffin Talk with Beate.
Kia ora and welcome to Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Centre in Epsom. We're a centre for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation and personal development. Once a week, I invite a guest to join me for a conversation on different topics. Today, I'm playing a repeat of an interview that I recorded last year with Sister Elizabeth Snedden. Sister Elizabeth Snedden is a religious of the Sacred Heart. She recently retired from teaching theology and spirituality at Good Shepherd College in Ponsonby, Auckland. In 2018, Sister Elizabeth was presented the Excellence Award in recognition of her outstanding contribution to Catholic tertiary teaching in New Zealand by the New Zealand Catholic Education Office, Good Shepherd College, and the Catholic Institute of Aotearoa, New Zealand. Here goes my interview from last year.
Congratulations, Sister Elizabeth.
Thank you, Beata. That was a surprise. I didn't have any say in this, but I could have awarded it to others.
So when you received this award, you received it for your work in Catholic teaching. What do you enjoy most in this teaching?
Well, it's lovely to be able to share my discoveries, but the thing I really love is when my students make discoveries and share those, and so it's a journey together. And I'm lucky at my age to be teaching consenting adults who are on a God search and who are delightful young people.
And can you give us an example of what kind of discovery your students had?
Well, Rewi last year discovered Hildegard of Bingen, and he discovered that she had produced the first opera because her play of the virtues was sung, and it was so early in our history. And yet it was operatic. And he loved Hildegard's music, and he sang with her most beautiful voice. So,
yeah, it's wonderful. We had a series on Hildegard of Bingen a couple of years ago, and we had Sister Anne Warren talking about her life and spirituality, and we had one lady who was talking about the herbs and the recipes that Hildegard of Bingen wrote down or had written down. And then we had two German musicians who were interpreting music composed by Hildegard of Bingen.
Well, that would have been a beautiful series.
It was.
Her Shivias is sort of like a compendium of natural history, as it was known at the time. She was a polymath with Hildegard.
Yeah, and she said that it came from the Holy Spirit. So she never studied any of these things, but she knew it, and she dictated it to people.
Amazing.
Yeah. Well, one of your topics is spirituality. What is spirituality for you? You study, because you're teaching Catholic theology and spirituality. What means
spirituality? I don't think that spirituality is reserved for religious people, because human beings are spiritual beings. And so everybody has something for which they're willing to transcend themselves. I might be a tree hugger and be so in tune with nature that my highest value is to preserve the natural world and to enhance it, to experience and share the beauty of it. So whatever a person's highest value is, for that they're willing to transcend themselves. And so it's a turning away from isolation on the one hand, or self-absorption on the other, in favor of something good and beautiful.
And as you said, it's nothing that has to do with one particular religion. Everybody is spiritual.
Yes. Lovely. For some people, religion might enshrine the highest values.
Yeah.
But It doesn't have to be of religious value for it to be genuinely spiritual.
Last year I had a Muslim guest here who said the spirituality is in your body and always says, feed me, feed me.
I love it. Yes.
And I think that's right, because yes, we are thinking of the wholeness. So body, spirit and spirituality, and we can't do without, and it will be replaced by something else if we don't find the right spirituality that fits in our lives.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
And your students, are they also discovering new ways of how they interpret spirituality? Because it is like what you say, it seems like it's a very individualistic, personal way mm-hmm. of completing your life.
Yes. I think our God is a God of infinite variety. And I tell seminarians that until they can recognize and respect and value the spirituality of a person they're dealing with, they can't expect to be heard themselves.
It's like you have to open a door. So.
Yes, you have to respect what's there before you can offer them anything.
Yeah, wonderful. Thank you, Elizabeth. For those of you who've just tuned in, you're listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. This program is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. We are on air every Friday morning at 8:40 a.m. on Planet FM 104.6. If you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk or check out our website or Facebook page at Tengaka Waiora Mercy Spirituality Center. My visitor today is Sister Elizabeth Snedden. Sister Elizabeth is a sister of the Sacred Heart and teaches at Good Shepherd College. We've been talking about spirituality. And Sister Elizabeth is going to come to our spirituality center on the 1st of March and give a presentation with the title, Grateful for God's Goodness, Love Poured Out. Why did you choose this title?
Because when you told me that your theme for the year was gratitude, I thought of the mystics that I'm encountering, and the one who is most inclined to move me to gratitude and was herself living gratitude is Julian of Norwich. There's a lovely story about Julian. Father Murray Bodo, a Franciscan, was in the Leonardo da Vinci airport in Rome 2 days after there'd been a terrorist attack at the TWA counter. And people were moving through the concourse with great speed and not wanting to linger there. And in the middle of all this hurly-burly, there was a lady sitting on her suitcase. And she was reading, and he was fascinated, and he went up to her and asked her what it was that was gripping her, and she said, why, Julian of Norwich, of course. Julian's famous for letting God convince her that all things will be well, or will be well, all manner of thing will be well. And Julian discovered a face of God that is all courtesy and compassion and kindness and gentleness, and love is God's meaning in all God does. And she expresses it in the long text, which is the fruit of 20 years conversing with God about that first revelation that she had. And Julian's God is somebody that I love to go to bed with.
You wouldn't sleep.
I can sleep.
Oh, wonderful. Now, you would read and read and read, and you wouldn't sleep. That's what I mean.
Yes. Yes.
So that's why you called Grateful for God's Goodness. So she was focusing on God's goodness, is that correct?
In the 14th century, it was the time of the Black Death. Mm. 3/4 of the population of Norwich, where she lived, England's second biggest city, died of the plague. And preachers, such as they were inclined to tell people that God was angry and that God was punishing them and that they needed to live in fear. And Julian encountered God and learned that God is never angry. There is no wrath in God, she said, her discovery. And she discovered the God who is mercy and grace.
And so that's what she wrote down, and she talked to people about it.
Mm-hmm.
And she gave them hope rather than being afraid.
Yes, she had a little consulting window. Have you seen the cartoons where Lucy in the Snoopy cartoons used to set up psychotherapy for 5 cents? Well, she had a little squint, a little window with a black curtain,
yeah,
where people could come and talk to her.
So they wouldn't see her, and they wouldn't infect her if they had the Black Death.
Hopefully, well, they didn't seem to. She lived to more than 73, which, yeah, is a good age for the time.
But also she was separated from the people. And
yes.
So she had less...
Mind you, the plague had gone through twice. The first attack of the Black Death, she was only 3.
Mm.
Second, she was 19 or 20 and possibly married with a baby or two, which she lost, because the second infestation of the plague, it was mainly children and infants who died.
So, and she's a mystic, right?
She is.
You are a teacher in spirituality, and you're interested in Julie Norwich, a mystic. What is the connection here?
A mystic is one of those who are competently exercising their spirituality. They are particularly people who are able to find union with God. They are people who experience the divine and are in tune with it. They sort of major it. They demonstrate it for us. And so the truly great mystics still have a teaching for us. They're classics now.
But do you think that the mystics would have considered themselves as mystics, or is it only the future generations that then said this person was truly mystic?
I think it's something you see with hindsight.
Yeah.
But Karl Rahner said that people in our age, Christians, are either going to be mystics or they're going to be nothing, because for us to get in tune with our own experience of God, it doesn't have to be a big clap of thunder. It comes gently. Our God isn't inclined to push us over. He works with his creation.
And you can't understand everything.
No.
Which is one of the challenges, but mm-hmm. at the same time as one of the treasures of mysticism, mm. that there's something that you can't understand. That
there are more mystics around than we realize.
We'll have to wait for a few hundred years and then we'll see how many mystics we had in the 20th and 21st century.
Yes, yes. We'll see some of the standouts. We won't see all of them because I think they're more numerous than we know.
And everybody could be a mystic. It's not, as you say, you don't have to be religious. And Julian of Norwich, she was not religious, was she?
She was.
She was.
She's a very devout Catholic, Adélie Mascot in her time.
But she was not a sister.
No.
Yeah.
No, she wasn't consecrated. or clerical or anything. So she couldn't be clerical.
Yeah. And so when you talked about Julian of Norwich, she's also sometimes called anchoress. What does that mean?
It was a strange phenomenon. People were enclosed. They were entombed in the language of the day, in an enclosure, in an anchor hold. And the anchor hold was normally built next to a church so that there was a window that they could look into the church and attend Mass through that window, a window to the outside, and possibly a window or a door for a servant to come and help look after them. But they were officially entombed by the bishop, who could actually wall up the church door that they went through. So it was sealed.
Yeah.
And they went in with a liturgy which was very akin to a funeral.
So it was a decision of these people who wanted to live as an anchor, anchoress?
Yes. It was a way of seeking God and of praying for the world so that the parish, the whole parish was held in their prayers. So the parish supported the person, would supply them with food and things and would bring their troubles to them, to talk to them.
Did this exist in other countries too?
I know of it mainly in Europe.
Yeah.
It was certainly in other European countries. But the region of East Anglia was particularly rich in anchor holds, they were called.
Yeah.
And there's an ancient document, the Anchoran Ruler, which is a rule of life for anchorites. It said, an anchoress shall have no beasts but one cat.
One cat.
So I think that that's possibly helped to give rise to this feeling that witches have a cat.
Yeah, but also I could imagine in the Middle Ages that they needed a cat to catch the mice.
Mm. Yes, handy.
So when you give your presentation on Julian of Norwich and this the topic of love poured out, what can the audience expect?
Well, they can expect to hear something of the story of Julian.
Yes.
They can expect to be given a card with a one page from Julian, different for each person, so that they have a little bit of quiet time to soak in what Julian tells them, because she said she was writing for her even Christians, and that's people on the same level as her. And she was the first woman published author in English. So this is something to have a page of Julian, but it'll be Middle English expressed in relatively modern English, so they needn't be afraid they won't understand it. I think they will.
Good. And so Julian of Norwich, she wrote in English.
She
whereas,
did.
And she wrote herself because she was by herself, wasn't she?
Mm. Mm.
Whereas Hildegard of Bingen had a scribe.
She did.
And she dictated to the scribe whatever the Holy Spirit told her. And that's what some of the paintings you can see her being filled by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And saying,
yes,
with a flame coming.
Yes.
And then being just like a kind of liaison person, a tool that the Holy Spirit needs.
Yes.
To
yes.
Say what has to be written down.
And Julian had some hours of direct vision where was the eyes of her body, spirit, person, she actually saw. But for the rest of her life, she asked questions and unpacked the meaning of what she'd seen. She remembered it. she asked questions. She asked God sticky questions like, why did you allow people to sin in the first place? Sin causes such a mess. And God actually answers her, as Julian tells us, by words formed in her mind.
Well, that's almost like the Holy Spirit talking to her.
I think it is.
Yes, yeah. That's wonderful. Are there any other mystics in England famous like her?
Oh, there's what we call the whole English school with Hilton, Walter Hilton, Rolle, Riesbroek. There's quite a few around that same time. Mm. And at the same time, you have another group of women mystics in the Rhineland.
Yeah, and in Spain.
Spain, Golden Age came later. Yes.
Yeah. And what would she have written on paper, or would she have
written on parchment?
On parchment.
And
because it was not usual for a person to be able to write in the first place, and let alone a woman, so she must have come from some background where she learned.
Yes, scholars think she was probably from the educated merchant class rather than a noble woman.
Yeah.
She calls herself simple and unlettered, but that actually probably means that she wasn't good at Latin.
Ah, okay. Do you teach her writings also to the seminarians? Is that part of the curriculum?
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of classes do you have in spirituality? So we talked about how you explain what spirituality is, and when you are in Good Shepherd College, you teach seminarians and other
Units at Good Shepherd that lay people and seminarians can do together. One is Introduction to Christian Spirituality, and I have to begin by introducing them to spirituality before we go Christian. And the other one is Christian Spiritual Wisdom. And this is where Julian would come in. We go back to the 5th century and begin with Dionysius, Pseudo-Dionysius and Bonaventure. And we work up through to Merton Teilhard.
Yeah. And so that's a big part of the whole training. And the lay people who are studying it, are they studying it for becoming a religious education teacher or for their personal use?
Probably the greater number for their personal use. There are some who would be studying for a BTL in order to teach.
It's a Bachelor of Theology.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But there are actually more lay people at Good Shepherd College than there are seminarians.
So it's important that they are there.
It is. And the greater proportion of those do it by distance.
Oh. So when you have classes, you don't see the students?
I see a group, but I also have an equally large group who are doing it from home. And so I have to record sessions for them and write to them and set them readings and things.
And how is your experience with this kind of teaching with a distant learning?
If people have the discipline to give some time to it, it's very rich. And in fact, because they don't do quite so many subjects, some of them really invest in it and become my best students.
Yeah.
Because they have the time.
They don't have to stand in the traffic jam for half an hour in the morning and in the evening.
They don't. And they doesn't have to compete with three other subjects.
Yeah. Wonderful. Thank you very much, Sister Elizabeth, for this information on Julian of Norwich and this enrichment regarding spirituality.
And what is happening in our last days at the Mercy Spirituality Center? Friday, 24th of July from 6 to 9 p.m. and Saturday, 25th of July from 9:30 to 4 p.m., Margaret Bowater will facilitate an introduction into dreamwork, Dreamwork 101. Also, on Saturday the 25th of July, from 10 a.m. to 3:30, Sister Kathleen Rushton from Christchurch will facilitate a workshop with the title The Presence of the Spirit in the Gospel According to John. And our last event at the Mercy Spirituality Center will be on Wednesday, the 29th of July, from 7 to 9 p.m. This is an interfaith event at the center, which will be organized in cooperation with members of the Auckland Interfaith Council. For more information, please check out our website at www.mercyspiritualitycenter.org.nz, our Facebook page, or send us an email at info@mercyspiritualitycenter.org.nz. I wish you all a blessed Friday and a wonderful week ahead. Thank you.
Planetaudio.org.nz. I've been thinking, Noel, what music do you like?
I like jazz and some classical. What about you, Mimi?
I like different kinds of music. I like easy listening, some classical, country music, and music from the movies. I also like to wake up in the mornings and read something positive and uplifting to start the day.
Well, why don't we bring these ideas together and produce a program?
That sounds great.